Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, text number 8. Maharaha Vastra Bharana Kanchu Kosh Ni Shabhusitaha Kopa Samaya Rajan Nano Payana Panaya. Maharha Arha. Extremely valuable. Vastra Abharana. With garments and ornaments. Kanchuka. By a particular type of garment used in Vrindavan. Ushnisha, with turbans. Ushitaha, be nicely dressed. Kopa, all the cowherd men. Samayayu, came there. Rajan, O King Maharaj. Maharaj Parikshit. Nana, various. Upayana, presentations. Panaya, holding in their hands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, the cowherd men dressed very opulently, with valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturalist in the village, we can see how opulent he was. Simply because of agricultural produce, protection of cows. At the present, however, agriculture having been neglected and cow protection given up, the agriculturalist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in a niggardly torn cloth. This is the distinction between the India of history and the India of the present day. By the atrocious activities of Ugra Karma, how we are killing the opportunity of human civilization. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Orvam malam adakshakam ashvatam prahur arviyam chidam siyasya paranani yastvam veda savedavit. That there is a banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches are down, and the hymns of the Vedic, the leaves of the Vedic hymns, that one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. In other words, if you go to a lake and you see trees in the lake, you know that they're not the actual trees, they're just the reflection of the trees. The actual trees are on the bank near the lake. Similarly, this material world is a reflection of the real world. Although we believe that there's no such thing as another world, or even if they think there's such a thing as another world, it's some kind of multiple dimension, which is just like our world, but a different world, and you know, some kind of science fiction idea of other dimensions. In any case, the idea that there's a spiritual world is not really very much acceptable. And those who believe that there's a spiritual world, they have really little idea what the world is like. Something about people with harps and horns living on clouds. That's the Western idea. And that God is some huge person sitting on the throne with no face. And his idea is that people come to him and he looks at the scoreboard to see their pious and sinful activities. And if they're not very pious, then he picks them up and then he throws them into the burning fire. Poof. And someone else comes, they're a little bit more pious. And he looks at the scoreboard, because he has the latest Apple scoreboard. God keeps up with the times. And he looks at the scoreboard and says, "Ah, very good." And he shakes the little guy's hand. And he said, "You're in." And gives him a little tiny harp or a little horn. And for eternally, he's sitting there going, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." Falling asleep all the time. And one day, all the little harps and horns, people with the harps and horns, go to God and say, "My dear Lord, please do us a favor, throw us into the burning fire. Because at least there's some rock music down there. Something a little bit happening." So this is people's conception, very vague, of heaven. And if we tell them, well, heaven is Vaikuntha, like there's a Vaikuntha, that's a little bit more reasonable to them. There's cities, they have planes, a little bit more like our civilization, or so-called civilization. And we tell them that the ultimate, the highest realm, on top of everything, God is there as a cowherd boy. People think, "Oh, you're crazy." We knew you were crazy, but we didn't know you were that crazy. That God is a cowherd boy, and he has unlimited cows, and they all give milk. And the most amazing thing is that people even drink milk there. Not only do they drink milk, but they make things out of it. They make sandesh and burfi, except but they don't even have ice cream. They're really behind. It's the most primitive thing you can imagine. What are you doing?
There's no good volume on the YouTube and my TV, so I try to adjust.
And don't forget it. Don't it stirs. So they believe that there's no ice cream, and therefore the place is useless. They make things called burfi and sandesh and glovedemans, who, you know, some kind of primitive food that they eat there. And not only that, but the only thing they do there, there's no industry, there's no internet. Could you imagine a place with no internet? And not only that, the worst thing is that there's no Facebook. What do people do without Facebook? There's no communication. So people think that this is too primitive. They don't even have tractors. There's no cars. People even walk there. Could you imagine how primitive it must be? People even walk. And there, the only thing God does is play on his flute. He's a would-be magician. Magician. He doesn't play the piano. He doesn't play the drum there. All he does is play on a flute and dance and eat. And he even herds cows. God is so poor, he has no shoes. He goes in the forest without shoes. And he has to herd cows to make a living. So he can get some milk, and he even drinks it. But the only interesting thing is that he runs after the ladies there. That's so God is not completely abnormal. But that's a problem too nowadays. He's too straight. How can you believe in a God who's so straight? And he's eternal, but he's still his mother treats him like he's five, but that's normal. So people can't conceive that. They think this is primitive, you know. That modern civilization is the standard of what is civilization, what is progress. They're so proud of their history of progress towards technology and industrialization, etc. But the question is, what have they actually accomplished with all this? What is the difference between 5,000 years ago when people are eating, sleeping, mating, defending? What are they doing different now? They're doing the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But now you have to get a PhD in order to get 5 chapatis to eat every day. And they think that's progress. They made everything so complicated that you just don't need fruit picked off your tree, or you don't need food grown in your garden. You have it flown in from South America. You have food flown in from South America that they sprayed with insecticide, pesticide, herbicide, and peoplecide. So many different chemicals, you don't even know what the thing tastes like, really. You know what glyphosate tastes like. And it's not ripe, it's not fresh, and it's not even food, it's chemicals. And people think that's progress, they're proud. We're importing our food from Argentina, from India. We get our mangoes from India. Alfonso. So we're making progress. And in our garden we grow grass to make it look good. That's all we know how to do is, and people don't even know that nowadays. They have to buy artificial grass nowadays, plastic grass, because they don't have enough time to mow the lawn. And in many parts of America at least, if you grow vegetables in your garden, the city will come and fine you for it, or even arrest you for growing vegetables. I know that in America they had fruit trees in one city I was in, all along the boulevard. The whole streets were full of fruit trees. So what did the city decide? They passed an ordinance, a law against fruit trees. So they cut down every fruit tree in the city so that people couldn't get the fruit. They figure if people get free fruit, then they won't work so hard. Yes.
Many things are like in America. I mean, in Europe, if we see here, people do grow their own vegetables, and even
for now. Well, look at India, which is... India, they had this special type of ghee that only the Brahmins, they bought, very expensive. 100% pure cow ghee they had on the label. And then someone had the bright idea of analyzing it in a chemically, and they found out that 50% of it was pig fat. So these Brahmins, who were so proud that they were pure vegetarians throughout the whole life, well, found out that they're actually eating pigs for the whole life. So this is Kali Yuga. But people are very proud of all the complicated mess they made. Matter of fact, most of the internet is, people are just like, it's a sports game, watching the wars go on. They don't want to participate in the war, they just want to watch it. Get well cards to all the people who are being killed in it. And they think that's civilization. So, anyhow, the point is, real civilization is there in the Vedic literature. Not only the Vedic literature, it's actually there in the spiritual world. The model of civilization is there. And the only thing that's really everything is centered around is loving exchanges. The only thing that this material world is based upon, revolves around, is so-called loving exchanges, which are actually just lusty, greedy, envious exchanges, all in the name of love. And because there's no God consciousness, therefore they don't follow whatever Krishna says. And therefore they always go in the wrong direction. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmanona buddhaya pravanyoga karmana sheya jagato hita. Following such conclusions, that is that there's no God, and that we don't have to follow his laws, and laws to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial work meant to destroy the world. Now, that's natural, because in the material world, everyone's competing to become God. So if you have 8 billion people on the planet, you have 8 billion people competing with each other to become the Supreme. So this is a problem. It's very difficult for 8 billion people simultaneously to be the Supreme. Therefore, they devise means to unite smaller groups to eliminate the other groups. Competition in some way or another. It's all based upon competition with the whole idea that eventually I'll become the Supreme. But no one's becoming the Supreme because it's not possible. The Supreme is time in the material world. But in the attempt to become Supreme, they go further and further away from the actual Supreme's instructions. And therefore, those who have some faith in Krishna, they know that simple living should be high thinking. People think simple living means low thinking. And indeed, as Prabhupada points out, previously India was glorious because they weren't distracted by so many artificial things. They didn't think it was bad to grow food, that it was sinful to put your hands on the earth. But the earth, of course, was much cleaner, the air was cleaner, the water was cleaner, people are not distracted by so many unnecessary things. Their relationships were purer because they weren't running after everyone else's things for the most part. They were satisfied with what they had. And what they had was God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And therefore, because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and everything else, everyone had the highest. No one could get anything higher than Krishna, because Krishna was a reservoir of unlimited pleasure and beauty and all the other things that you can desire, and everyone had an equal opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And that's what they focused on, the highest good. And they understood by cooperating with each other, then actually Krishna was more pleased and they got more happiness. They got a deeper relation with Krishna, not by competing with each other, but by cooperating with each other to serve Krishna. Not cooperating with each other to become God, but cooperating with each other to serve God. Therefore, the society had the same aim, everyone had the same interests, everyone had the same opportunities to become Krishna conscious. And although there was a differentiation, some people actually had the job, the service of being cowherd boys or cowherd girls. But they didn't mind, because they understood that God is also a cowherd boy, so what's the problem? It's good enough for him, it's good enough for me too. And that was the basis of society, actually. The economic part of society, that the food was there, the milk was there, all the milk products were there, the pure atmosphere caused by the pure economic system. And therefore there was something worthy for the Kshatriyas to protect. They wanted to protect the atmosphere, and therefore they used their power not to to change things around to make things worse. They used it to protect the perfect atmosphere that was created. And the Brahmins gave instructions of how to utilize, how to work in that atmosphere to come to the highest state of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And the Shudras didn't mind cooperating because they got everything they wanted, everything they really wanted. And nowadays, everyone is a Shudra, and no one gets what they really want. It doesn't matter what they get, they're never satisfied. Everyone thinks someone else has something more and better than they have, and therefore they're always interested in going, changing what they're doing and getting something different. And therefore their minds are never satisfied. And because their minds are never satisfied, they have no ability to ever concentrate on Krishna. In Krishna consciousness. nor can they understand the simplicity of Krishna consciousness, the simplicity of an economic system. They don't even know that their real priority is food. There are people who are billionaires, who have all this money. They don't even eat as well as the devotees do. You have $1 billion and you're working so hard to get your next $1 billion. You don't have time to eat. So Prabhupada said they get up in the morning and maybe they put a piece of toast in the toaster and they eat that with a cup of coffee and run off to work. And if they go out to a restaurant at night, they order some dead animal that was really packaged the last war, preserved, and they think that's food. And what do they do with all the money? They just put it in the bank and look at it. And think how rich they are, how fortunate they are. And if they have any money, most of their money, if they spend it, it goes to pay off the lawyers for all the people who are suing them, to pay off for all the drugs they're taking and all the operations they're having because of all their horrible habits they have. And they think this is progress. And everyone else is envious of them. Oh, if only we could become rich like them and we could have 4 operations a year. We can afford it. And have a facelift every other year. So after a while we can try out for a part for Count Dracula in the movies. They think they're envious of people who have that opportunity. And they have no idea what the goal of life is and how to achieve it. And they think that those people who are living simply, they think they're primitive. They're happy. They think they must be taking drugs. There's no other way they could be happy, have a smile on their face. Without taking drugs, there must be something to it. So this is all, that's why we distribute the Bhagavatam. And that's why we try to chant Hare Krishna, so we can experience that a complicated mind doesn't mean a happy mind. Let me go and surf the internet and see how many things I can agitate my mind. Right now I'm too peaceful. Let me go on the internet and see what I need. What they tell me I need. So that's what the modern civilization is. Simply to create an agitated mind and then get people to work like an animal in order to get what they think they need. And if they don't work like a dog and eat like a hog and sleep like a pig and sleep like a bear and have sex like a pigeon, they're not very advanced. They're parasites in society. These people don't do anything. They just smile and chant Hare Krishna. They don't even know how to eat. They eat with their hands. They actually feel that food. My God, could you imagine that? They're so foolish they even wash their hands before they eat. And then they don't dress in the modern fashions. They wear the same clothes that they went to sleep with. The bed sheet, they take some... Take the bed sheet off their bed. I put on better clothes on my dog than they wear. Therefore, the only thing is to chant Hare Krishna, do Harinam Sankirtan, and maybe we ourselves will get some intelligence, and other people will get some intelligence, what the actual values of life are. Eat nice prasadam, have nice relationships with each other, don't be envious of why this person thinks I'm a servant. They're not serving me, why should I serve them? Let's have a competition, who's God here? wait a second, I did this much service for you yesterday, I have it recorded. You only did half that service to me. You owe me half the service. No, you know, in the spiritual world, people are anxious for service. And here, people are anxious to be served, their senses to be served. So we have to study this philosophy and then study our relationships, study so many different things, and see how we can actually come to realize what they're talking about here. Is this just a fairy tale that God is actually, he's right now, he's herding cows in Vrindavan. And he even milks them. Could you imagine? God milks, touches the cow, my God. How barbaric. And then he dances, and he sings, and he eats prasad, he eats, and he sleeps. But it's all spiritual, so this we have to find out. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Shri Akanta Kanta Parama Parama Purusho Puma Bhumis Chintamani Gayami Tam Twayam Amrite Shri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kapatoruva, that in the spiritual world, God is the only object of love for everyone. I mean, everyone loves each other, but Krishna's the central point of love there. And there are the trees that fulfill everyone's desires. Now, if you go there with the wrong desires, everyone's going to look at you. You say, my dear Kapavriksha tree, can you tell me who's on Facebook right now? Couldn't give me a nice computer, I could check my email. I mean, the tree will look at you, everyone will look at you and say, I think you came to the wrong place. But they ask for things, whatever they want. They want some flowers, they want some fruit, something to serve Krishna with. But they're all desire trees. They give whatever one actually wants out of love there. And there the land is made of touchstone. It's spiritual. Like Govardhan Hill is, in the winter, the whole hill for Krishna's pastimes is warm. And in the summer, it's cool. You don't need the air conditioning and heating on Govardhan Hill. The hill itself provides that for the devotees. Right, exactly the right temperature for the pastimes. And there, the water is just like nectar. You don't have to buy bottled water. Just think how much you'll save if you go to the spiritual world. And the air is bliss. It's made out of bliss. Every time you breathe in, you don't choke and cough. You're in ecstasy every time you take a breath. And the flute is the favorite companion. So Krishna's flute is the sound of his love for all the residents there. He plays it out of love, and everyone gets an opportunity to experience the intense love that Krishna has for everyone there, simply by hearing the sound of the flute. So, if we want to go there, we can. And if we want to go somewhere else, we can go there too. That depends on what our desire is. And at least if Prabhupada said, the impersonalists may speculate day and night, but we'll eat our way back to Godhead. So at least if we like the food, then we'll go, as Prabhupada once said, I don't want to go to the spiritual world to see Krishna. I want to see what Mother Jasoda put in his lunch bag. So at least if we eat prasada, we'll get interested in, hey, let me go there and see what the food's like there. At least we'll develop a desire that way. So any questions?
Yeah, I have one question for Sankirtan, because a lot of people said that no one never come back and say how it is that. So what to answer to these people?
No one ever comes and says what? What it's like in the spiritual world?
Yes.
Well, Krishna's here, he knows what it's like. He goes back and forth all the time. Well, as a matter of fact, he's there, he's everywhere all the time, so he can tell you what's going on there right now. So God can do it. That's why we have Brahma Samhita. And the Brahma also has some opportunity to see the spiritual world. So if one purifies one's heart, one can actually see what's going on in the spiritual world, even when we're in this world. Because actually, the soul is not really part of this world. He's potentially part of the spiritual world. Besides, Narada Muni has gone back and forth from there all the time. He's a regular traveler. Anything else? Kala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.